I'm Hugo Disler from Farming Secrets. We've got the pleasure to have online Dr. Martin Stapper and Bruce Davidson. Now, it is a pleasure to have both of you on the line because Bruce is an extraordinary farmer doing extraordinary things, and Martin, you are an extraordinary agronomist or scientist, and you're helping farmers in an extraordinary way. So, seeing I'm mentioning you, Martin, could you just introduce yourself as to how you help farmers?
Yeah, well, I'm a research agronomist, trained and started working in the 70s. And during 20 years of work, I could then more and more not explain how the system works. And then 10 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, it came gradually to me that it was the biology in the soil and the carbon in the soil that makes the whole farming system tick. So for our sustainability and for our productive systems, we have to minimize chemical use, fertilizer use, and use the powers of nature to get good production. And it was an extraordinary meeting of minds for me to read and hear and start to have contact with the likes of like Arne Andersen and lots of scientists around the world that had come to that conclusion as well and started to approach that from the scientific direction. But because all over the world, there are individual scientists that start to grab that. But like the majority of science, like 99%, still goes the way of more fertilizer and more chemicals. So I got the ultimatum and I was removed from the CSRO. So now I'm working by myself to keep talking to farmer groups about this principle of biological farming and keep reading and talking and meeting with other scientists that do the same. And over those 4 years that I've been working by myself, the whole issue has been strengthened more and more. And whatever I say can always be proven by other people and by personal experience of farmers. Because in my world now, and like always, as I was practicing science, I was always reliant on the practical experience of experienced farmers, innovative farmers, because they see the land 24/7. They live on the land. They see it after all the freak weather conditions and after sowing and harvesting and shearing and lambing, etc. So we have to listen to those innovators, to those people on the land that see and feel the system. And like Bruce is one of them. And if we meet people like that, I mean, then we can help translate with our theoretical knowledge as scientists to translate the practical knowledges and to see what's a rule and what's just interpretation, that's the wrong interpretation, then we can make great strides into achieving sustainable farming. And it's a great pleasure for me, for the United Nations. Like at that global level, we have had now 3 reports in 2006, 2008, and 2010, that state this kind of farming as the ultimate for food feeding the world. But at all our country levels, all those established research organizations, including CSRO and State Departments of Agriculture, they're still all in the old school of modern farming by fertilizers and chemicals. And then they try to make more efficient use of chemicals and fertilizers. And they try to breed plants that have less use of fertilizers and that can adapt to drought and to salinity. But and like last week I read a story that they now discovered that plants that can grow good in shade are also plants that are tolerant to salinity and plants that are tolerant to drought and plants that are tolerant to acidity. But the science world still feeds all those things as individual factors. But like we in biological farming over the last decade, well, one positive thing over the last decade, all the droughts, was that all those biological farms that produced better yields, better crop growth, better pastures than the neighbors. So if we go to the biological system with our current genes, we can make the current genes far more effective for weather patterns in heat and cold and frost and salt, all those conditions, as we have a healthy soil with active biology and good availability of minerals, and those plants become strong and they withstand all the environmental hazards that the science world tries to find and breed individual varieties for. So that's, for us in the Biological Farm, always a frustration that the official world still tries to solve all those single factor solutions. And of course they get monies from like the Grain Research and Development Corporation to make drought tolerance and frost tolerance, etc. And all the farmers pay for that. And there's now a big wave of organic farmers here in Australia as well that says that they pay those fees to the R&D corporations here in Australia, but they don't get any results from that money invested in R&D because that's still all going into the industrial farming direction. So if more and more farmers start to join this organic biological farming system, we can start to make more pressure on the powers to get some research done in that. And like today, I heard a story in New Zealand where they had the first biological farming conference ever. And in that conference, they now decided to start a biological farming systems research institute. So they're now one step ahead because we don't have something like that here in Australia. But I can talk forever about it. Every time a word pops up and I start to explain it again, but now it's up to Bruce to introduce himself and the great achievements that he's had on his property. Of course, you've all seen that on the DVD as well.
Martin, thank you for what you had to say. Everything what you say is very important. Bruce, please give us a bit of a rundown of why you took up farming and a bit of your background and maybe just describe how you farm.
Good evening. I come from a background of dairy farming. I grew up on a dairy farm in New Zealand, so I think what you grow up with is what you consider to be normal. So when in 1985 I'd had enough of earth-moving construction, we'd purchased a property 90K southwest of Sydney. We decided to get into horticulture and particular cut flower growing, and farmed conventionally. In a short space of time, about 5 years, we decided that wasn't producing good results. We changed to organic production with very positive outcome. And in the last couple of years, to biological, using worm juice as our fertilizer, with outstanding results. And in that similar time, we'd purchased this property down here at Candalo in the southeast corner of New South Wales, a grazing property, and not having any hands-on experience other than what I grew up with grazing, we contended that if this worm byproduct worked in horticulture, there's no reason it shouldn't work with growing grass. And it's proven itself to grow to perform very well, and recently we've just come into spring, and with marginal amounts of rain last month, 67 millimetres in total for the month, and the month before 15 millimetres, and looking at the property now, you'd think we'd had much more than that. The response has been quite outstanding, and we were told when we started here, when we were questioned by local conventional farmers what we're going to do, we were, I guess, a little outspoken about what we're going to do, because we figured convention clearly had been identified as not being sustainable, and we were told it wouldn't work, and quite the opposite has happened. Our nutrient availability has continually increased in spite of using no synthetic fertilizer since we purchased the property in 1997. The outcome just keeps getting better, and as we refine our skill and understanding, it becomes easier and the land becomes more productive. We're still on a major learning curve. However, our knowledge base today is very different to what it was when we took over the management in 2003, and I guess now we've got a far better understanding of what we're actually doing, and the results of what we're applying now are coming through in a very short space of time. I see results now in weeks, whereas initially they took a couple of years. I think that's mainly because of our understanding of what we're actually doing and how we're fine-tuning it and how we're applying it in the rhythms of nature. For example, we prefer to apply our biological products we brew on farm just prior to the full moon. And the difference between doing it then and 2 weeks later is quite profound. Conventional farmers, when I speak of it, and I try not to because they think immediately of hocus pocus and witchcraft because they don't understand that the moon has such an effect on the planet, let alone plants, and so I try not to speak of it. But when you understand it, you can have a significant impact on the outcome. So we're sort of at the stage now where we're starting to get a good handle on the hand signals of managing nature, I guess, or supporting nature and its performance. That's about where we're at.
Bruce, I picked up a point with what, as you're talking about increasing nutrient, the nutrient values. I presume that you mean the nutrient values of the grass. Would that be right, or the pasture?
The pasture, yes, yeah.
The interesting thing is, what I'd like you to make comment on, is that when I looked at your soil test, there were a few items there that are a bit low on. And usually, if what farmers have been trained, if there's items that are low, if you go putting them out, and if you don't do that, things suffer. But in your situation, things just keep improving. So how do you see that those few trace elements that are not up, when I say they're low in accordance to the laboratory's assessment of them being low? I'm not saying it are low. So how do you see that the soil test relating back to...
interesting comment. The soil analysis is a snapshot of a window in time of how the soil is at that particular moment, and it changes throughout the year. I find that, well, firstly, I picking up on what Martin said earlier on scientists like Arden Anderson, and I read everything I could get hold of his early in the piece, and also Elaine Ingham. Elaine enlightened me early in the piece that the soil is not deficient in minerals, it's biologically deficient, and we had our soil analysed for its mineral content, and she was absolutely correct. There is an abundance of minerals, and the deficiency lies in the mechanism for making it available, which is a soil biology. And as we learn to manage the biology and stimulate it, these minerals that may be in short supply fairly quickly can increase their availability. So it's really a matter of our understanding rather than what we apply to it. And probably the biggest influence that we can apply at present is grazing management in a grazing situation. I'm also getting into making vermicast tea, which is similar to compost tea, which again is Elaine Ingham's forte, I guess. And I do it also conscious of what Arden says, sort of trying to blend the two. I particularly don't want to purchase and apply products. I want to develop a system by way of whatever we apply, we produce from within the farm as much as possible, and we're trying to develop in such a way as that we can share it with other farmers so they can do the same thing. And so far, it seems that it's working quite well. We've still got some fine tuning to do and a lot of learning to do ourselves. And you know, I find that as I go along and learn more and more, I'm continually amazed that at how quickly the learning process takes place. 5 years ago, I travelled for 6.5 hours to to listen to Martin Snapper speak at the very first open day for Nutrisoil down at Wodonga. And now I find myself having Martin on my own farm. I'm quite astounded by that. I think that's a reflection of our learning process, that people like Arden and Elaine, I've met Elaine, and other people like Christine Jones has visited our farm and been quite surprised at the outcomes within our soil. So as we go along and learn, I come into contact with all of these learned people and continue to increase my own knowledge base and apply that to the farm. So it's a multiplying factor, I guess, and down the track, hopefully, I'll learn the hand signals and management will become very much simpler. But at present, we're trying to support and encourage natural processes, and the more we do that, the easier it becomes to produce, I guess.